95 and Psalm 100. It says in Matthew 20 and 26, "But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." And then Matthew 5 and 41, it says, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain," or two. And then Psalm 102, it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." And so being a part of the kingdom is not simply about one salvation experience. And I'm so thankful for that glorious experience that we are able to be a part of when we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and we respond in faith, and that faith compels us to repent of our sins and obey the word of God that commands us to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the removal of our sin. I'm so thankful that we have the opportunity to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. What a powerful experience that is. However, that is just the beginning. That is not the finish line of our salvation. That is the starting line of our salvation. And so God saves us. So first of all, that we could be saved, right? But not only that, he saves us so that we can be a part of the kingdom, so that we could build the kingdom. We are here that we might reach others, that we might serve others. And so it takes work, dream works, right? As faith without works is dead, so dreams without work and workers are just pretty pictures and fleeting thoughts. You know, we speak of revival, we speak of a harvest, we speak of reaching our world, but the key to all of these things is W-O-R-K. It's work. And so you've got to put feet to your faith. You have got to put your hands into the harvest. You have got to put your effort into the things of God. It takes a lot of work to make dreams come true. They don't just show up one day. It's like I've told you for 10 years, every good thing happens on purpose. And so we purpose in our heart to build the kingdom of God. We purpose in our heart to minister to souls, to reach them with the gospel, and not only to reach them, but we love them into the church and we disciple them into a walk with God so that they can ultimately serve in the kingdom. That's really why Way of Life is so focused on getting people involved, because when you get involved in what God is doing, it helps you to endure the situations around you. Because when you come into the church and you are gloriously saved from your sin, that beginning is wonderful, but it won't be long until you start experiencing the turbulence, the issues of life. In fact, many times the enemy will highlight those things in your life, trying to discourage you from living for God. But I've noticed that people that get involved quickly, that start serving and start connecting with the people that they go to church with and start focusing on ministering to those that come through the door, I've noticed those kind of people, they tend to stick and to stay. They tend to grow in the Lord very quickly, because that process of being involved is such a powerful tool. And so it takes work for a dream to come to fruition. And so when we all begin to work together, there is no limit to what God can do. Amen. It takes work. Now, God has bought us with a beautiful, wonderful price. He has paid the price for our sins to be redeemed, for us to be washed, for us to be transformed, for us to be changed. But now that he has called us, the Bible says that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What? Not just to be saved, but to be witnesses. And so everyone that comes into the church is called to be a preacher, is called to be a witness. It doesn't mean you will have the position or the office of a pastor or a bishop. That doesn't necessarily mean that. But it does mean that every one of us is called to be a witness. We are called to be a testimony of the things God can do, the things God will do. And so we need to be a part of the kingdom of God, because the key to growing the kingdom of God in this particular area is work, is work. I love this poem that is called "Man is Ever a Dreamer." It says, "Man is ever a dreamer. He considers the hills afar. He dreams of things out yonder where all of his tomorrows are. And back to the beating hammer and back to the hissing steed and back to the wheels that clamor is that ever-present dream. Everything that rattles and goes today was first a dream." And so today we're talking about dream team. We are talking about serving in the kingdom of God. The great Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Everybody can be great because everybody can serve." You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. And so serving God and serving others is inexorably connected. You cannot love God and not love people. It's impossible. It's impossible. It goes together. If you serve God, if you love God, then you are going to love others. You're going to serve others. That is just a part of God's plan. You cannot separate that out. You know, some people say, "Well, me and Jesus, we just have our own thing going." But that's not true, because if you really love him, then you will love what he loves. That's why our mission statement here, and we talked about it a lot last week, and everybody mentioned it in our video and all the beautiful things that were said last week. And hopefully, when I pass away from this life, that testimony will be that I was a man of love. That was the number one thing that I wanted people to understand, is that I loved them and I love God and I love people and I love the church and I love this way of life. And so our mission statement here at Way of Life is, love is our why. It is why we do everything that we do. It is why we give. It is why we worship. It is why we pray. It is why we build. It is why we reach out. It's why we greet people at the door and we serve coffee in the morning. It is not just some situation that we're trying to throw out there to do just to have something to do, but we want to love people. The reason we have a parking lot card out there, we don't have that big of a parking lot, but we want people to know that when they pull in here, that we are here to serve them and that we love them. And so you cannot separate your love and your service to God from your love of people. You cannot serve God and not love the church. If somebody tells you that, they're wrong. They got something wrong with them. If they tell you that they don't need the church, if they tell you they don't need to go to church to serve God, if they tell you they don't need a pastor, if they don't need their brothers and sisters, they are wrong. OK? Can I say that any more emphatically today? They are absolutely wrong. You need me and I need you and we need one another. We have got to do this together. Two are better than one, the Bible says. And so we need one another. And you cannot love God without loving your brother. The Bible says, 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother for whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. In fact, if you look through Scripture, everywhere it mentions that we should love God, it won't be long until it says you've got to love your brother, your sister, your neighbor. You've got to love others. You've got to even love your enemies. Right? There's no loopholes in love. You have got to love your enemies. You've got to love your neighbors. You've got to love your brother and sister. You've got to love your spouse. Amen. You've got to love souls. You've got to love people. And so you cannot love God without loving people. You cannot do that. In fact, the Bible says that if you have unforgiveness in your heart for anyone, then you will not be forgiven. And so our vertical relationship with God is connected. It cannot be separated from our horizontal relationship with people. You've got to have that right to have a right relationship with God. You've got to forgive. You've got to love. You've got to serve. You have got to be a good neighbor. You have got to serve others. In fact, the Bible says if I'm going to be your leader, then I've got to be your servant. Whoever's going to be chief among you, they have got to be willing to serve. If they're going to be first, they're going to be last. And so today, I am not your Lord, but I am your pastor. And as your pastor, I am a servant unto you. I love you. I'm here for you. And that has been our example from the very beginning of this church in September of 1977. It has been a legacy of love and service and care and prayers and patience and constantly sacrificing. And that is a part of who we are. And so this dream works that we're talking about today is from everyone, all the way from the pastor to the newest person that comes through the door. We want to be servants. Amen. I want Way of Life to be a church of servants. Amen. Several years ago, was about 4 years ago now, we formed the North Texas District of the United Pentecostal Church, all the churches in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and then it goes north from here to Oklahoma, and then west out to Vernon, I believe, somewhere like that. That is the North Texas District, and we formed that, and our great district superintendent, Brother Richard Flowers, asked me to serve as the event coordinator. And so I said yes. And when I said yes for me, for the Pattons, for the Andersons. I said yes for everybody. And so we have become servants in the district. And I so missed our camp meeting this year. We call it Summit. We call it North Texas District Summit. I so missed it because it is a beautiful time, and it's a lot of work. We work for probably 2 months before it starts, and then we work all day long, every day while it's going on, and the day after to clean it up, and it is a lot of work. And so we refer to ourselves during those district times as the Martha Church. You know, Martha served. Martha served. Now, Mary worshiped, and that's great. We want to worship too, but we are a church of servants. We want to love people. We want to put our back into the kingdom of God. We want to hold the hammer and the saws and the building instruments, and we want to love people. We want to minister to them. We don't want to just talk about worshiping God and loving God, but we've got to put feet on our faith, and we've got to put hands in the harvest, and we've got to actually show people that we love them. Amen. Faith without works is dead, and so is love. Love without works is dead. You can say it all you want to, but if you don't do something about it, then you don't really love people. Amen. Amen. If you say you love your spouse, but you don't act like it, if you don't ever do anything to take care of them and to protect them and to keep them, then you don't really love them. It doesn't matter. You could say it 5,000 times a day. If you don't act like it, then you don't really love them. And that's the same way it is with working in the church. If we really love Him, if we really love what He's all about, then we're going to love souls. We're going to reach for souls. We're going to disciple people. Once they get into the house, we're going to love them into the church. Amen. We're going to reach out to our young people, and we're going to encourage them, and we're going to touch our children and minister to them, and we're going to pour ourselves into their lives, because it is so important. Amen. It is so important. Amen. Amen. We've got to pour ourselves into the kingdom of God. We need to pour ourselves into people. We've got to love them. I've noticed this, that the less we care about others, the more focused we get on ourselves. And the more focused we become on ourselves, the more we begin to complain. And the more we begin to compare ourselves among ourselves, which is not wise. The more we allow jealousy and strife to get into our hearts and to get into our lives and into our minds. But the more we pour out to others, the more we care about others, the more we serve in the kingdom of God, I've noticed that it transforms my own outlook into my own life. It transforms the way I see myself. It transforms the way I see my circumstance, because when I am serving people that are struggling, that are going through things, that are trying to make their way in God, I realize, oh, look how blessed I am. Look how much peace I have and how much contentment I have. And I don't have time. I don't have time to focus on all the bad, because when I'm ministering to someone that has it worse than I do, then I realize, oh, thank God. Thank God that I'm here, that I can minister to them, that I can reach for them. It's all a part of the process. And so here at Way of Life, let us be a part of the works of the kingdom. Let us be a part of the service of the kingdom. In Luke 10 and 30, Jesus answering these men that were standing around asking who their neighbor was, he said, a certain man went down to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave it to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Jesus asking, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Amen. Now, if we're really going to be a part of the kingdom of God, it is not just about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is not just about repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, which is so powerful and so real, and it is absolute doctrine and truth, and we must live it. We must experience it's a part of it. But then we begin to make choices, and we have got to choose who we are going to serve today. If we're going to serve the Lord, then we serve the Lord by serving others. Amen. I can prove that with Scripture, and I will in just a few minutes. If you're going to serve the Lord, you got to serve others. Amen. Again, I'll say it. You can't say you love God and hate your brother. Amen. You can't say you love God and hate your sister. In fact, you can't say you love God and hate anybody. You got to love your enemies. You got to pray for those that work against you, that speak against you, that do things against you. You've got to bless them. Amen. In our world of hate and violence, the key to it is get in the Word. The Word says we forgive, we love. We do good. We bless. We do just the opposite. If somebody does something bad to us, we do something good to them. Amen. Amen. It doesn't make sense to the world. It doesn't make sense to our own flesh. But in the Spirit, we are not living a carnal life, but we are living a spiritual life. And a spiritual life is one that loves even when it's hated. It forgives even when it has something wrong done to it. It loves and forgives and serves. Amen. And so, the story of the good Samaritan. The Samaritan was a man that would have been hated by the Jews, but just because of his nationality, because of his bloodline. But Jesus said, look, this man was a neighbor. And so the Bible does not separate us by class or separate us by skin color or by nationality, but we come washed in the blood. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And so now that we are in the kingdom and we are redeemed, now it is up to us to be a part of what God is doing. We are His hands. We are His feet. We are His voice. And so we have got to choose the right master, because our Savior is a beautiful Lord that we serve completely. Matthew 6 and 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so we've got to serve the right master. We've got to choose Jesus Christ, our Lord, to serve. Not only do we serve Him, but we serve God and man. I've already told you that. You can't separate that. We serve God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. We serve Him emotionally. We serve Him logically. We serve Him with who we are. We serve Him with what we do. Amen. Amen. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We present ourselves holy, holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. We present ourselves holy, completely, everything. If your walk with God does not transform every area of your life, then you don't really have a walk with God. It will change the way you interact with everyone in your world, on the job, in the store, in your neighborhood. It will change everything. It'll change the way you deal with your children. It will change the way you interact with your spouse. It will transform every area of your life. And the issue is that some people, they like to dabble in Christianity. They don't want to live holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, for the Lord. They want to give him part and pieces and the things that are convenient. And so we've got to serve God and man. We serve your brothers and sisters. We serve strangers. Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bonds with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Not only do we have to serve God and serve our brothers and sisters and serve strangers and serve our neighbors, but we are also to serve our enemies. Luke 6:27, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Man, there's no excuse for hate. There's no excuse for revenge. There's no excuse for violence. Amen. You can't say you love God and hate your brother. Not only are we to choose the right master, not only are we supposed to serve God and man, but we need to serve out of love, not law. Romans 7:6, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We have got to fall in love with this thing. We have got to give ourselves completely and totally to loving God, because when we do that, then we will, of course, love others. Amen. Amen. Number four, we need humility, because humility serves all. Serves all. The Bible tells us to serve in secret. I can't tell you the number of times that people do things for other people around here. They bless them without ever being known. In fact, they don't want people to know. And I see it all the time, how people bless others. They give finances to others. They give stuff to others, things that they see that they need. They will bring it to me and say, Pastor, will you pass this on and don't let them know where it came from. And I see those blessings all the time. And that's really what God is wanting us to serve and to love others. Not for the glory of it, because we are supposed to let our light so shine before men that they will see our good works and not glorify us, but they will glorify God. Amen. We're not trying to get our glory for ourselves. Matthew 6:4, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Humility serves all. Amen. We should never be too big to serve. Amen. The character of a servant. You see it in Joseph, how he served everywhere he went. In fact, before Joseph's dream was ever fulfilled, he held on to the dream of others. He fulfilled the dream of Pharaoh before his dream ever came true. And so we have got to have the character of a servant. Titus 2:9 says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, not showing all good, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Not purloining, not just doing it for financial gain, but doing it unto God. I heard a minister say one time that he had a job, and his employer was such a cruel man. He was angry all the time, and nothing anyone ever did was good enough. And so he prayed about it. He prayed about it, and the Lord basically told him, he said, "Well, who are you serving? Are you serving him? Are you serving me?" He said, from then on, I went into that job, and as this man would rail on me and rail on everyone else, I decided that I was not employed by that man, but I was employed by God. And so I became a better employee. I worked when he did not see me, and I worked harder than I needed to, not because the man deserved it, but because God deserved it. Amen. And so we have the character of a servant. We need to have the mind of a servant. Philippians 2 and 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And so we need to have the mind of a servant, the mind of Jesus Christ himself, that we would humble ourselves. Amen. You know, sometimes we as human beings, we want to fight for ourselves. We want to defend ourselves. We want to retaliate, right? But if we have the heart and the mind of a servant, then we just serve the Lord, and we let the Lord fight our battles. We let the Lord defend us. My pastor always told me, he said, if truth gets you in trouble, truth will get you out of trouble. So just stay faithful. Stay faithful. Just keep walking. Just keep loving. Just keep being faithful to the house of God, and faithful to God, and faithful to the things God has called you to do. And ultimately, God will reveal all. It's everything that's done in secret, everything that is happening that people don't understand. I promise you, if you keep walking in integrity, God will bring you out. And it will be revealed. So just don't worry about it. Just put your faith in God and keep loving people and keep serving people and keep working and keep walking and keep moving, and keep praying and keep giving and worshiping and being a part of what God is doing. And ultimately, it will come to pass. Amen. Because he is the great accountant of our lives. The cost of serving, John the Baptist said it so well. He said, "I must decrease so that he can increase." Amen. I must decrease so that he can increase. 2 Samuel 2, 24 and 24 says, "And the king said to Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. David made this choice. He said, "I am not going to offer the Lord something that doesn't cost me anything." The cost of serving. But as I said before, the Lord is the great accountant. And there is also a reward for serving. Mark 9 and 41, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ. Verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. In Matthew 25 and 35, he says, for I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? Or when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And so, as I always say, Jesus Christ is the visible manifestation of the invisible God when he was on this earth. And now the church is the visible manifestation of the invisible kingdom of God. Amen. And so when you touch this place, when you touch these people, when you touch the people that come through the door, you are touching the kingdom of God. Amen. You're touching the things of the kingdom. When you clean around here, you're cleaning the kingdom of God. Amen. I know that this is just carpet and concrete and sheetrock and paint and just individually those things are not holy. They're not glorious. But when you put it all together and you realize that this is where we meet the Lord. This is where we fellowship with one another. This is where we fellowship with the Spirit. You know that this is the kingdom of God, and he always rewards those that serve. Amen. He gives joy. He gives relationship. He gives honor. He gives loyalty. He gives confidence and blessing and provision and favor and fulfillment, inheritance and spiritual prosperity. He promises us that this is not the end, that he is gone to prepare a place that where he is, we may be also. Amen. The men in Scripture, they served. Joseph served Potiphar. He served in the prison. He served Pharaoh. Daniel served three different kings. Moses served Laban. Joshua served Moses. Elisha served Elijah. Samuel served Eli. David served Jesse and Saul. All these people showed us that if you will serve the Lord with gladness, he will raise you up. He will exalt you in due season. John 13 and 4. Jesus, he riseth up from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part of me. Simon saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Wash me. Wash me. We see in this lesson, in this passage of Scripture, that Jesus Christ, the righteous, the Son of the living God, the Lamb for sinners slain, the Rose of Sharon, the Lion of Judah, the Lily of the Valley, the bright and morning star, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, everything in between. He is the healer of our lives. He is the Savior of our souls. He is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. But yet, when he wanted to come to the end of his ministry, and it was going to be just a few hours more until he was turned over to the magistrate and he was taken before his accusers. And now he did his last act of love for these men that he had poured his life into. He knelt down and he washed their feet. Amen. He washed their feet. Now these are men that wore sandals on dusty streets, and they didn't have hot running water and soap and towels to take baths with. They didn't have all of the things that we have as convenience today. And so when he knelt down to wash their feet, they were some dirty feet. But he wanted them to understand that if you're going to be first, you got to be last. If you're going to be chief, you got to be the servant. If you're going to live, you got to die. And so he took off all of his glory, and he girded himself with nothing but a towel and knelt down and washed their feet and served them. And so as we build what God has called us to build, as we work in the field to plant, to plow, to plant, to harvest what God has called us to plow and plant and harvest, let every one of us put work in our dreams. We've got to put ourselves into serving the kingdom. How do you serve God? I'll tell you how you serve God. You serve others. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you gave me to eat. How did we do that, Lord? When you do it to the least of these. And so the dream team is not just some catchy title. It's not just some catchy program. But it is the ground floor of the greatest opportunity that you could ever be presented. You get in on the thing that's actually going to get out of here when it's all said and done. You get in on the ground floor of what never stops growing. To the increase of his government, there shall be no end. You get in on the ground floor, and the greatest thing on earth, the greatest thing on earth. Amen. Some very wealthy man lived his full life, and he came to the end of it, and someone asked him as he was on his deathbed, if you had anything, if you could go back and do anything over again, what would you do? And this rich man looked past all of his wealth, all of his earthly accomplishments. He said, I would find a cause that was greater than I am, and I would give myself completely to it. I'm telling you today, the greatest cause on this planet is the kingdom of God. Everything else is going to be shaken. Everything else is going to fall. Everything else is going to falter. And so why don't you lay up treasures where moth and rust does not corrupt? Why don't you put your time, the only place you can put it, where it's not lost forever? Amen. Could we stand? Dream works. It takes work. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us, Lord, to surrender ourselves to what you want us to do in this hour, that we would pour ourselves in to reaching the lost, to loving them into the church, to teaching them the way of the word, that we would show them by our faithfulness and by our worship and by our prayers and by our consistency, Lord, the blessings of serving the kingdom. Oh, let us not just be converted, but let us be disciples. Let us not just be disciples, Lord, but let us be disciple makers. In the name of Jesus, bless us today with a heart of a servant. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Can we clap our hands on the Lord? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what a beautiful day it is. Why don't you just take a break for a few minutes? We'll start worship here in about 10 minutes. God bless you. We're going to have a powerful time in the second hour.